Right, let's turn to this issue. The specific focus of it is the death by suicide of Marcus Eurster, but more specifically, how this applies to his family and people named in his will. Now, Marcus Eurster left everything to his wife, Ingrid Eurster, sole heir. It was filed at the Magistrates Court in Grabouw earlier this month, although the will was drawn up 4 years ago. The matter of broader interest is what happens when assets in a will get tied up in either police investigations or criminal prosecutions, or indeed civil prosecutions. It's a complex world, and we thought it would be interesting to know, is this specific to this particular case? The likelihood is very small, I would have thought. And how does the law resolve these things? After all, if somebody, a husband or a wife, is involved in things that have brought them in conflict with the law, why would their family suffer? Wife, children, dependents of various kinds. Let's try and unravel this, and welcome to 702 Drive, Advocate Manny Witz. A very good afternoon to you, Advocate, and thanks for your time. Is this quite a common situation, and is the law clear on it, or is it something that invariably gets contested?
Afternoon, John, and afternoon to your listeners. No, it's actually very, very common. It's not anything out of the ordinary. So the way they do it is the Director of Public Prosecutions, which runs all the prosecutions in Africa, have got a very, very powerful unit called the Asset Forfeiture Unit,
right,
which is run by various experienced senior state advocates and attorneys. So what they can do in this situation, they act in terms of the Prevention of Organized Crime Act 121 of 1998. It's been in since 1998. So the first thing they do is they go ex parte. In other words, they don't serve it on the people. They go to court, they present these affidavits to a judge in chambers or in court, and they get an order freezing all the assets. And all they really have to show is very, very simple. They have to show that it's the proceeds of crime, either directly or indirectly. Or if it's an object, say, for example, it's a house where they're running a gambling den, or they're running a woman messing around there, whatever it might be, they can attach the property. So that's really what they do. So unfortunately, if you've given donations, if you've given money, left everything to your wife, like in this particular instance, they've got so many powers in terms of the Prevention of Organized Crime Act that their tentacles go all over, including overseas.
Yeah.
So if you've got money overseas, as long as they can show it's the proceeds of crime or it was an instrument of the offense. In other words, some of the offense that committed involved using monies, whether it's local, international, whether you use the third party, a fourth party, a company, a trust, an entity, they can attach all of this. And then what they then do is they then bring an application for the realization once they get the interim order. So when they get the interim order in terms of Section 38 of the Act, they serve it on all the people that might be involved. And then you've got a period of 10 or 14 days to put in your opposition.
So how do you take action around the concept of proceeds of crime if, in fact, a crime has not been demonstrated conclusively to have taken place in a court of law?
Very easy. There's two sections. There's Section 5, where there's normally been a conviction in the matter.
Okay.
And also, once there's been a conviction, there's another section where they have an inquiry there and then and say the value is X. This is what you got out of your crime. This is what they found you guilty of, and they can then make an order there. But then what they do is in Section 6 of the Prevention of Organized Crime Act, and that's a section, you don't even need a criminal conviction. You don't need to get a criminal conviction. If you've got the necessary proof and affidavits and they oppose it and they can't show anything otherwise, we'll say, look, we didn't know what was going on. I'm just the wife, and, you know, he gave me the money, and now, unfortunately, he's deceased. This, that, and the other doesn't help, because if they can link with all the investigations, I mean, as I said, they were ready to arrest him. So obviously the investigation is complete, and obviously prima facie they believed they had a case that would have called for an answer. So Section 6 protects them. They can bring that application and you don't need a criminal conviction.
Has this ever gone to the Constitutional Court? Because, I mean, I'm just doing a little quick internet look, and obviously I must respect the limitations of what I know about this. But nevertheless, I mean, if you look at the Bill of Rights, Chapter 2, it says, no one may be deprived of property except in terms of law of general application, and no law may permit arbitrary deprivation of property. Yes. I mean, is there not an arbitrariness to the deprivation of somebody's rights to an inheritance based on a matter that has not been settled and proved in court?
No, not at all. The first one where it came to the front was the well-known matter of Shabir Sheikh.
Right.
The guy with the low golf handicap who's terminally ill. He went all the way to the Constitutional Court because they froze and took a lot of his assets, properties, monies, etc.
Yes. So
it was first tested there. The one that you've just mentioned, I think it's the Mandaranyam case, where they said you can't arbitrarily deprive somebody of their property. But that is, there's a limitation to the Constitution. It's not a free-for-all.
Yes.
There are certain limitations, for example, Section 36 and other sections, where if it's in the interests of the country, if they can show that this is proceeds of crime or an instrumentality of the offence, then you've got to try and oppose it. And if you don't oppose it and they can show X rand or X dollars or X pounds, however it was done, or euros,
yes,
including overseas, they can attach. And there's also another act which they can use, which is if you can get a judgment here,
right,
for X rand or X dollars, whatever, you get a reciprocal judgment in one of the countries where you believe there's either assets, properties, trusts or money. And they've been busy with this investigation for so many years. So you can get our court to give an order,
right,
and they can get a reciprocal judgment there. And then that country, say, for example, Germany or Holland, or where they allege certain activities. I know for a fact they were busy with 42 different matters in different parts of the world where they had to get what's called mutual legal assistance. So this is the route they've taken. They've done their homework. So they've sort of tried to track, but it's very interwoven and it's all over. But unfortunately, you know, the law is there. And then, of course, one mustn't forget that there's another angle and another tool that they can use, which is Regulation 22A of the South African Reserve Bank Act. And there's such a low threshold there. All it says is, very, very simple, you're prohibited from exporting money out of South Africa directly or indirectly. In other words, some people do an asset swap. Say, look, and you need dollars in your country. I've got rands here. I'll give you the rands, deposit the dollars there. Or overinflation, which sometimes happens with invoice. And the threshold is very low. All that happens is you just have to show reasonable grounds that you suspect a person. And now that's what's happened, unfortunately, with his lady friend. She was left a whole lot of property, etc. And the Reserve Bank had to be careful. You've got a certain time period of 3 years to get this forfeiture order. And the forfeiture order has to be signed by the deputy governor, the government gazette. And they only do this after they've completed investigation.
Thank you so much. We'll have to leave it there. Fascinating stuff, though. Advocate Manny Wits. Sometimes we think the law is a little ineffectual, that the powers are not as comprehensive as they should be. In this matter, at least, sounds like the teeth of the law are pretty sharp. 702 Drive.